Peter Dalm in London with Bernard Marantelli of Colossus Bets. Thank you very much for agreeing to do this.
No problem.
I understand that you come from an Australian bookmaking background. Can you tell us a bit about your formative years in that environment?
Yeah, look, my father has been a bookmaker since before I was born. I think 52 years now he's been a bookmaker. And his two brothers were both bookmakers as well. So look, I grew up, in my early teens, I think I first became aware of him being a bookmaker. I used to go to the Melbourne Cup. And as I got to be about 17, 18, started to work the race meetings as a clerk and a baggie. So yeah, I grew up sort of in the teenage years helping with some greyhound form and video form. And then later, once I was legally able to and old enough, working on course with him.
So considering that background, when did your interest in pool betting develop?
Well, I think in Australia, if you look back at those years, which was the early 90s, pool betting was the dominant market there, with the TABs effectively under state monopolies. And the bookmakers were only single individual bookmakers on course. So I think I grew up with pools, got a very quick interest in playing the fixed odds against the tote and taking sort of your best chance and maybe backing two or three in a race sometimes. And then looking at things like the quaddies, which is essentially a pick four, where the takeout's 25 cents. And that, of course, was better than betting into 15% over round four races in a row. So, playing pools and playing jackpot pools was part of my early years.
And when did you start doing that to actually make a living?
Well, I think the intention was always to make a living. I think there were some learning processes early on. I think in my early years, I think I was a winning gambler, but I was certainly living through volatility that was bigger than my asset base as a 19 and 20 and 22 and 3-year-old. I mean, I think sometimes I bet £500 on a horse or a quaddy where I probably only had £2,000 in the world. So I think bankroll management was not great in those days, but I think the intention was always to try and bet with an edge.
So how come you decided to leave for some Australia and to come to the UK?
It wasn't the weather, that's for sure, although it's perfectly sunny today. I think in real terms, bookmaking was definitely declining in Australia. Online was just coming in, and probably hadn't realised that online could have been a saviour for bookmaking yet in 98 when I moved here. I'd done a genetics biochemistry degree at university, and I thought I'd take the safe route of getting into sort of the biotech industry rather than try and eke out a living in bookmaking or sports betting in what seemed, at least in Australia, to be an industry that was going to have a fairly long-term pressure on it.
So now you're co-founder of Colossus Bets. What does Colossus Bet offer?
Well, I think Colossus Bets predominantly offers multi-leg jackpots on football and sports, where you can bet a small amount of money and win a large prize. So effectively, lottery-sized prizes on sports you love. But I think the sort of sub-points of that are that we invented the use of cash out, and we allow our clients and our partners' clients to cash out partially or fully on a leg... Stop while the police go past, but on a leg-by-leg basis. So again, you've got a Scoop 6 or a Colossus Pick 6 or a Quaddy in Australia or whatever it is, or even a fixed odds accumulator. And you've got through six of your seven legs, you're a leg from winning £1 million, and you're on an even money chance. Well, in real terms, an even money chance in 100% market, in real terms, you're worth 500,000. And the retail person had no ability to do anything with that position except sit and hope, or maybe hedge 20 or 30,000 online on an exchange or something like that. So we packaged all of that up into technology, and we made cash out available for people on a retail basis. You didn't have to worry about counterparty risk because you were the operator holding the ticket, and you could allow people to essentially cash out hundreds of thousands of pounds because you had no counterparty risk through technically holding the ticket. So that's really what Colossus started with: big jackpots with cash out leg by leg. And then our second innovation was to bring social media online crowdfunded syndicates. So again, you want to play a Scoop Six or a Colossus Pick Six or a jackpot, you might want to bet £1,000 or 1,000 lines, and you can't really afford that yourself. So you propose this 1,000 line entry, you fund 10% yourself, we place it up on a crowdfunding website, and the public come in and fund it all online, all seamlessly, and then we deliver the cash out dividends or consolation or final dividends to all of those people seamlessly. So it's really a good experience to share it with multiple people.
Okay, the Asian market is a proven one for embracing the type of exotic bets that you aim to provide. Why not just put all your efforts into that sphere?
Look, we're present in Asia, and some people argue that Asia's grey or parts of it are grey. They market and they interact and they share information and product quite differently. It's a very lucrative market. If you look at the Chinese sports lottery, they're doing nearly 600 million a year in handle on a couple of football multi-leg bets. So it's a market that we would like to become dominant in. We have dipped our toe in the water there with a number of Asian-facing partners, and we'll continue to grow. But in real terms, if you look at our core product, which is football, it's massive in Africa, Europe, South America, as well as Asia. So we do have a global focus, but we are working with a number of Asian partners as well.
Do you feel that UK punters are too lazy in their ways to be attracted to Colossus-type pools, given that the football pools had been a national institution but was virtually killed overnight by the National Lottery?
Well, look, you know, the football pools is a very interesting story, and some people would say, well, what are you doing? Like, pools in the UK have been in decline for some time. Football pools had between 5 and 11 million weekly players in 1995 when the National Lottery came in. And you're right, it damaged them badly and aggressively very quickly. They have about 350,000 players a week now, down from those halcyon days in 1995. I think that product had multiple problems that the lottery gave a very viable alternative to. You either won it or you essentially got nothing. The lottery introduced a large structure of consolations. So drip feeding money and free play tickets to each person on a weekly basis, or many people on a weekly basis. So the allure of winning 5 or 10 million and retiring and changing your life, but lots of reasons to go back to the supermarket or the off license each week to buy your ticket. And you know, crazily or perversely, if you look at the chances of winning the football pools, you know, they were quite large, 60, 80, 200 million, and the National Lottery was easier than that, had more liquidity, and you put liquidity and prizes and consolations together and they build a better product very quickly.
In the same vein, do you think that punters are too cautious, given that Fred Doe made the Scoop 6 an extremely hard bet to win compared to when it was originally conceived, and the syndicates have turned their backs on it?
I think, you know, the perception is that Betfred destroyed his own jackpot bets, the jackpot and the Scoop 6. And I don't really think that's fair, totally fair criticism. I think he got some things wrong, but he was trying to do something right. I think he was badly restricted by technology, sitting on platforms that were very inflexible and expensive to innovate. And as such, there's not really been any technical innovation in the tote in the 5 or 6 years that he had it. He tried things like the Super 7, or it might have been called the Scoop 7 or the Super 7, I'm not sure. He tried things like a soccer jackpot, and they didn't quite work. But where he was particularly restricted was he's been unable to add significant consolations or add cash out or do something innovative from a technology point of view. I think what happened was that they wanted big jackpots and they saw the allure of big jackpots and they thought the way to get a big jackpot is to make it hard. But I think it's a chicken and egg. You need to make it proportionate as you grow the pool and make it harder as the pool gets to be a large size. And that's one of the things Colossus specialize in doing in the risk assessment of what is the guarantee based on the complexity of the pool. So where we sometimes lack liquidity, we manage that with guarantees. And I think there's a perfect example when you look at May of 2014, the Scoop 6 got to about £15 million one Saturday. And the public spent just on £11 million trying to win that. And about 8 people won it, if I recall correctly, and I was one of them. And a bin man was one of them who'd spent £4. And they all went to York to get the bonus. And when the bonus was won or split between several people, the next week, Betfred said, oh, in the middle of Scoop euphoria, I'll put up a £100,000 guarantee. The public spent £473,000 anyway into a £100,000 guarantee. They should have just bit the bullet and put up £1 million or £1.5 million guarantee and really taking control of the situation. But instead they went conservative because they're possibly conservative from a risk point of view. And within 2 weeks, the euphoria was gone and the product's been in terminal decline since.
Because it was a massive boost for racing. It was a non-racing news story whenever that
It was a non-racing news story for 3 or 4 weeks in a row. And it had just got bigger and bigger, and they really should have said, we've got all the eyeballs, £1 million guarantee. They put up a £100,000 guarantee. People flooded in with £470,000 of spend, and it just dwindled immediately after that.
So do you think people can be won over to re-energise their enthusiasm for those type of bets?
I think they can be. They are in America, they are in Sweden, where it's almost a national lottery, the V75. They are in Hong Kong with the Triple Trio. They are to a lesser extent in Australia with the Quaddy, which is just a pick four. Toad Island have got €1 million rollover this weekend, and they're managing their pools a bit more aggressively. So yes, I think people like the allure of a life-changing price. I don't think that's appealing on 6 or 7 balls out of a barrel. I think it's very appealing on 7 races or 7 football games with gaps in between them to build the drama.
Right, getting down to the bread and butter of total pool betting, do you think that winning place pools can ever be valued against conventional bookmakers, let alone the exchanges, and if so, how?
Look, I think they can be. You know, if you look at win totes around the world, they are loosely 15% takeout, you know, 13 in places, 18 in other places. I think 15% takeout against fixed odds can be competitive. It's not competitive in a 2 or 3 runner race, but you know, a bookmaker would have 104 or 5% on his board. But it's extremely competitive in the Grand National that returns 118% tote and 155% bookmakers. The sweet spot in the middle, where the two kind of intersect, is around the 11-12 runner mark. And there is about 11 runners on average in the UK. So I think it swings and roundabouts for value. I think if the tote has liquidity, and I think with the complexity of bookmakers having to block sharp players on fixed odds horse racing, or corrupt players on fixed odds horse racing, and that continual arms race, and the increasing presence of SP as a defensive mechanism from bookmakers, I do think there's a possibility for tote win in place to be quite competitive.
So you think they can actually be a serious option for serious professional punters, even given that the odds they're betting at aren't known to the end after the race?
Well, I think a serious professional gambler can't have a bet at fixed odds with a bookmaker anyway, or it's very complicated. They can't get much on, they're offered SP. So they're kind of left with tote environments or exchange environments. So I do think it can be quite viable.
So why are you so convinced that pool betting is the sleeping giant of gambling?
Well, I would probably suggest that that catchphrase, which we've put in a couple of articles, etc., it's more focused on multi-leg jackpots and for the drama and the innovations we've spoken about earlier. But so I do think there've been, I mean, it's always hard to say mismanaged I think they haven't been optimally managed in the UK and indeed in other parts of the world. And I think that's one of my skill sets, to understand pools ecosystems as a gambler historically and as an operator and innovator now. And I think you can make them very appealing and have essentially sports lotteries based on a pools environment.
Recently, we see for free pools up for large, but potentially punters can win large money for nothing. How can that business model be sustained? And is there a danger that punters might just decide to keep their money in their pockets, given the huge odds against winning an exotic pool, and just play the freebies?
Yeah, look, I think with any marketing proposal an operator uses, whether it's a price boost or bet £10, get £10 free, or deposit bonuses, etc., they're all open to some form of abuse. We have some people that have played 100 times a free pool and never played a cash game. But I think you need free pools to let people experience the product, get to know and like and enjoy the product, and then potentially spend some of their disposable income on the product in a cash game. I think you need to be careful that free play is not misused by the entire ecosystem, but we're happy with our balance at the moment. And if you look at something like Sky Super 6, they have 1.6, 1.7 million weekly users now, and they're giving away at least a couple of million a year in prizes and a lot of marketing costs, and that's clearly been beneficial for them. I mean, they've probably been the most successful firm in the UK in the last 8 years, and I think most people will suggest that that's largely on the back of the growth of the Super 6 and the cross-sell of Super 6 players into their sportsbooks and casinos.
Okay, you are a truly global concern with Colossus Bets, but just considering the UK for the moment, is football or horse racing going to be your main priority as a business?
I think in real terms, it's very hard for horse racing to compete globally. It doesn't have the lasting appeal. Cracksman is the superstar, allegedly, this year. Next year, he'll be retired. Messi and Ronaldo have been superstars for a decade. People are passionate about football in every corner of the globe. And while they might be passionate about horse racing in every corner of the globe, they're passionate about their horse racing. So I don't think it translates as easily to being a global liquid pool. So globally, our focus will be sports, and we're expanding in America all the time, and our American sports are expanding. But I think horse racing will be very valuable with a UK and European focus. And I think you do need the larger product suite. We intend to offer jackpots on greyhounds, horses, and sports, and basically have big jackpot pools morning, evening, and night, 7 days a week.
So will it take a truly colossal win by a small stakes punter before you can capture the public's imagination?
I think growth is always complex. Building a brand is complex. We've got very nice brand in parts of Africa where we've had players in Ghana and Kenya win about £200,000 sterling, which is obviously a gigantic number there. So yes, it will take time to build the brand. It's also slightly complicated that some winners don't want to advertise that they won $500,000 or $1 million. So you can't always get the nice news story out of all of your winners either. It'll take a little while, but we're getting there with more turnover and more distribution and more partners and more product.
From a personal point of view, why did you choose to build a bookmaker with totes and jackpots instead of the traditional fixed odds route that your father would have done?
Well, I think you need to focus on where you have a unique skill set and unique knowledge. And I think you need to focus on where you've got a competitive advantage. And I think when you look at the pools around the world, they tend to be quasi-monopolies and quasi-government companies and not totally innovative. So I think there was a gap in the market there, and it was an ecosystem as a pools player I understood extremely well. and I think the innovations of Syndicate and Cash Out lend themselves extremely well to multi-leg pools jackpots. If I was to go down a fixed odds route, you know, there's lots of people pricing, there's lots of casinos, there's lots of casino suppliers. I think if you were to go down a fixed odds route, you'd be just as valuable as an experienced marketer than you would be as an experienced gambler with knowledge of the ecosystem. So I think I went down the pathway of pools because I think my advantage over my counterparties was greater there.
Okay, changing the subject slightly, you're very active on social media as a company as well as personally. How valuable a tool do you believe it to be in the modern marketplace?
Well, look, I think Twitter and social media is a blessing and a curse. You can get completely lost down a rabbit hole watching useless videos, or not of Neil Channing, but of other people, or memes, which I just don't get, that get liked a million times. But I think the sort of second screen, the mobile, while you're watching football or going out, I think you have to be mobile driven going forward, or mobile device driven going forward. And I think then you need to package that up with some form of social media and sharing. People spend an inordinate amount of their life now on mobiles and social media, so I do think you have to be there and start to bundle betting with the social experience.
And one of the drawbacks, of course, there seems to be a huge amount of mindless or people on there trolling with no life but many aliases. How do you cope with them when you become a victim of one or the target of one?
Yeah, look, I've got my favourite troll who's spent probably 40 hours a week trolling me for the last 4 years, which leaves not much room for him to enjoy the rest of his life. Look, I feel a bit sorry for those sorts of people. Definitely passionate and driven, but, you know, what can you do? It's part of being online, so you just live with it.
Okay, finally, you're known to be very strong mathematically. Although the figures are the most important part for any successful bookmaker or punter, how important do you think it is to have an opinion?
I think opinion is a slightly opaque word for me. I mean, for me, I think you can't bet until you know what the price is or what your price is. And then if the price in the market is different to that, you make an assessment of whether you participate or not. I think, you know, if I do Greyhound form, which is probably the time that I have an opinion, and I watch a lot of videos, my opinion of a price there, where I don't use a model, but I watch videos and calculate it in my head, my opinion there is still quite systematic. I digest the race and come up with times and splits, etc. So I don't think opinions matter, but I think clarity around your price is very, very important. And then clarity around how you manage, whether it's your bankroll or your staking strategy or whatever it is, whether you use a point system or a Kelly system or a maximum loss system, etc. I think those are the important things. And I think one thing that you need to be very careful of when you're gambling is that if you think a price is wrong, you can frequently get 100 or 200 or 300 pounds on it, and then the price moves or the exchange liquidity dries up or whatever. But if you can start to get 3,000 or 4,000 pounds, alarm bells start to ring. So when prices are wrong and you can get small amounts of money on, I think you're onto a good thing. When you can start to get large amounts of money on, it tends to be that your price is wrong, not the other price.
Brilliant, well, thank you very much for your time.
No problem.
New Betting People interviews are published every week at Star Sports. Exclusive interviews with the key people from the world of sports betting. Check out our full library of interviews at starsportsbet.co.uk. BeGambleAware.org. Over 18 only.